This week's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/hype. Welcome to Hype, episode 27. That is divisible by 9 or 3. 3 is a fitting number. See where I'm going with this? This is beautiful.
Wow, that was terrible.
No, it's great. 3 is a fitting number because Josh is not with us today. He is under the weather. So Kyle and Marima are here. Hello, guy and girl.
Hey.
Hi. I didn't realize we were doing a math podcast this week.
Well, I tried to mix it up in the beginning, and the theme of the week is math.
Cool. Just in case this entertainment side thing doesn't work out, we can switch over.
Perfect. Great.
I think I once failed a math class, so not for me personally, but maybe for you.
I've actually failed a math class like 4 times in a row. So.
Math, not our strong suits.
Speak for yourself.
But we're going to start off with some box office news today. It's actually a new segment on the show called How Much Money Has Frozen Made Now? Frozen, according to Box Office Mojo, has now surpassed The Dark Knight Rises to become the 9th highest grossing movie of all time. Not without inflation adjusted, by the way. I don't know. I assume on last week's episode we mentioned it is now the highest grossing animated film of all time. I don't remember if we spoke about that.
I don't think we spoke about that. We spoke about some other Frozen thing.
Okay.
How is Transformers this high on this list?
So Transformers is number 6 at $1.123 billion.
Well, I'm going for Frozen to beat Transformers at the very least.
That would be
so
great.
Everyone, please go and see the sing-along version.
Hey, I like Transformers. So.
We know.
Okay.
So there's been some debate over, Frozen isn't truly the highest grossing animated film of all time. That's Snow White, because if you adjust for inflation. But see, my opinion on inflation is that I don't care about it because it's the highest grossing, which made the most money. And if you look at the raw numbers, Frozen made more. These films we see in the top 10 made the most money, period.
I mean, I feel like on this point, I'm probably going to trust the experts to like actually understand how inflation works. But I understand the numbers being bigger argument. That's a valid one.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You can't argue with numbers, right? Math.
Right. You can't.
I've realized this weekend that no one is more sick of Frozen than people who work at Disney.
Oh, really?
Yes. Everyone and their like childs are singing Frozen everywhere in the park. And it was really funny because I was hanging out with Mickey Mouse. And my attendant was just not happy because this kid was like, do you want to build a snowman? Do you want to build a snowman?
To Mickey?
Oh my gosh. And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever, kid. And she was like, you need to go. Because she already got her autograph and she was just staying, waiting to build a snowman.
That seems extreme because he's just, that kid was basically just citing a line.
It was just boring. Too many kids singing Frozen.
I mean, I'm wrapped up in it. I think we can stop with all the Let It Go covers and the like all the different comments about Let It Go. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was a great movie. So
yeah, I can't wait to just sing it at Kyle for like 2 weeks straight in July.
Oh, great. Yeah,
it's going to be great.
Maybe there'll be a Frozen panel at Comic-Con. I don't think so.
Damn it.
So at number 8 on the highest grossing list is Skyfall with $1.108 billion. So it's about, it's about 20 million behind Skyfall, I think. If I'm calculating those decimals correctly, so it may be able to surpass Skyfall. We'll see. Speaking of box office, I wanted to mention Divergent. While it's by no means one of the highest grossing films of all time, it's actually performed very well It has now made over 100 million at the domestic United States box office, 114 million to be exact, and 22 million internationally, but it hasn't really opened up internationally yet. So we'll see what those numbers are like. But it with a budget of 85 million, it sounds like it was a hit.
I finally saw this, by the way. I finally made it to a screening.
Oh, yeah?
It was so good. I really liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great. I thought it was fun.
I'm excited that they're going ahead with Insurgent now.
So as a reader, you were pleased?
Yeah. I mean, I think we had the same thing, which was we didn't mind it, but I wasn't in love with the books. I quite liked it. In fact, I think I liked it more on screen than in the book because you were out of Truce's head. And that was nice in a way. And Thea James was not in the book and he was in the movie. So that was also like plus 1,000 points.
Yeah.
And Kate Winslet was amazing. But yeah, I thought it was really solid.
Yeah.
And I know you said that you didn't think it would make as much sense for a non-book reader, but honestly, I thought it was all right.
Yeah. I think I agree with you in that I enjoyed the movie better than I did the book. I remember the first time I read the book, it felt like a while to really get things going. In terms of the action.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you liked it. You can be a little pessimistic, so
I don't know what you're talking about.
This is good news. If Marima likes it, it must be a hit.
That should just be a rating score. Like yeah. Our reviews should just be like Marima likes it. Marima doesn't like it.
You can start a new section on Hypeable.
Perfect. Next week, coming soon.
I always thought we should shake up our movie reviews a little bit and just instead of doing a grade, just put, did the reviewer like the movie or not? Like, do you recommend people see it or not? It's a simple question.
We do on Book Hype for books we read. Would you buy it, borrow it, or just don't read it? Which is like a good little.
That's a great idea.
Thing. So you could have for movies, you could be like, should you go and see it or should you just look up the plot on Wikipedia or should you download it in a means that might not be legal?
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
In some other movie news, some book to film adaptation news, Rainbow Rowell's Eleanor and Park has been picked up from movie rights by the movie studio DreamWorks. This was very surprising. Rainbow Rowell, am I pronouncing her last name right?
I think it's Rowell.
Rowell. See, J.K. Rowling.
Yay.
Rainbow Rowell. Mm.
Okay.
Kyle, okay. You'll like this name.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to say Rowell. Like, it's going to mess me
Kyle,
up.
Kyle, you're a natural.
So we've talked about Rainbow's work before, specifically Fangirl. Fangirl is, I haven't read Eleanor and Park, but I loved Fangirl. It was great. And anybody who loves Hypeable should definitely read Fangirl. We've spoken with Rainbow once or twice too. So I don't have both of you read it or just Marima, Eleanor and Park? Who's read Eleanor and Park?
I've read about like a third so far.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I've read it. I'm so excited about this. Actually, we were talking about this last week when I was like, they should adapt Rainbow Rowell's books, except yep. They will never adapt Eleanor and Park in a million years because the characters are not like straight up skinny, attractive people. So this is both exciting and terrifying because I'm really worried that they're going to sort of Hollywoodize the characters, which would be a shame. But Rainbow's doing the script. She's doing the screenplay. So that's exciting.
Yeah, that's really cool. Now,
yeah. We
don't know for sure if they're going to go with her screenplay. They could toss it and redo it, but that's great for her.
Right, but I mean, it's a good start, hopefully.
Yeah.
So
she said on Twitter, they've promised me that... never mind, I'll skip that part. She says, I know it's Hollywood and there are no guarantees, but I think they want to do a good thing, referring to the adaptation of it. So she seems confident. I don't get like the impression that it's just so risky. Like The Fault in Our Stars is obviously going really well in terms of book to film adaptation, but then there's been so many faults, if you will, in the recent, in the past year with so many YA books. So it's, it must be scary for Rainbow because, like, they could completely ruin this.
Yeah, but as I have mentioned, like, multiple times, all of those terrible, terrible movies were generally supernatural, and this is totally different. And the kind of straight-up contemporary YA adaptations have done really well, actually, even though they've been smaller productions. So I'm that's comforting in a way to me. I guess the problem with this is, like, Rainbow's writing in a way is a lot more niche than John Green's. Like, his is probably more accessible. So it would be a shame if they changed it to try and reach a wider audience by, like, dumbing it down, or, you know, just making it all a bit easier and a bit simpler for everyone, because that's really not what her books are about.
Yeah.
We won't know till they cast. If they ever make it and they cast it, that will be the best indication of how well this is going to represent the book.
Yeah, so that's something important to keep in mind, too. They only have the movie rights. It hasn't been greenlit or anything. They may be waiting to see how well Fault in Our Stars does.
I think they probably are, yeah.
Because, you know, in light of the recent Paper Towns news, with John Green's Paper Towns being adapted by the same team who's doing Fault in Our Stars, I think they're looking for really good YA books. And obviously, I mean, Rainbow is in a position where I won't say she'll become the next John Green, but she's rising, and you see her books on bookstores everywhere. And I just feel like if they have to pick books with really popular authors, and I think Rainbow's on track to be a really popular author. She has a new book coming out later this year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she gets them out like 2 a year. She's crazy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, she published Fangirl and Eleanor and Park, were both published last year.
Oh, okay.
And she wrote Attachments before that. She's got a, you know, reasonable body of work to draw on. So if they decided to go with her as the new, you know, YA person to follow,
yeah,
she's got enough stuff there.
Yeah. And I see her new book, Landline, comes out July 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, I searched for Landline and on Amazon, and the majority of listings are landline phones.
Does anyone have one of them anymore?
Apparently, I don't know.
Crazy.
This number two listing for landline is the number one bestseller in corded telephones at Amazon.
Perfect. Sell those hipsters.
I have to say, I love Rainbow's covers. Whoever does them does a great job.
Yeah, I totally agree. The Fangirl one is so great.
Yeah.
I really want them to make a Fangirl movie.
Yeah, so do you want to mention that real quick? You wrote up a fan-made Fangirl.
Oh, yeah. There was like a little mini adaptation that was shot by the makers of a current web series called Kissing in the Rain, and they also did a Telltale vlog series that I wrote about a while ago, and it had Mary-Kate Wiles from Lizzie Bennet Diaries, and they shot a scene from Fangirl, and they also did like a photo montage of a different scene from Fangirl, and it was really cute. Their Levi was really cute. Just made me want a movie. So that's unhypable. People can check it out. I thought it was fun. It was a fun little thing they did.
Yeah, that sounds great. I've been meaning to check that out because I am a fan of Levi.
And you're a fan of Fangirl.
Yes. Oh, it's just so perfect.
That's so perfect.
You know what I'm also a fan of?
Tell me, Andrew.
Audible.com.
Wow.
yeah. In fact, today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For listeners of Hype, Audible is going to offer you, the listener, a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their great service. This is actually my favorite time of year to recommend Audible because, people are getting out and about more, enjoying the nice weather. And maybe if you don't want to read a book, or if you don't want to be carrying around a book, you maybe just want to be going for a walk or something. Audible is the perfect, way to consume a book. I'm going to recommend today Eleanor and Park, of course, because we were just talking about it. And if you haven't read it yet, maybe you're interested in finding out what the hoopla is about Rainbow, or why DreamWorks wants to turn this book into a film, check it out. They also have Rainbow's other books. I see Fangirl, Attachments, and I'm sure they will have Landline here as well once that's released this summer. So check it out. Eleanor and Park, you can get it for free on Audible. Visit audiblepodcast.com/hype to get the book for absolutely free. And we thank Audible for their support of the show. Let's see. What else am I a fan of here? Oh, Logan Lerman. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
He says that we didn't talk about this on the last episode, but he was interviewed and he said it looks like Percy Jackson 3 isn't happening, the third movie. And of course, some people are like, oh my gosh. And others were like, yeah, that makes sense. The movies have not been great. But now he's sort of backtracked. In a new interview with The Independent, he said that his words were taken out of context. He said that he doesn't know if there will be a Percy Jackson 3. He said, quote, I've never heard anything, and it's been a while since the second one was released, so I just haven't heard anything about a third film. Usually they call me. I think it's unlikely that there will be a third movie. So is this for the best that there's not?
I think so. I mean, I do love Logan Lerman, but, like, Percy Jackson was initially about, like, an 11-year-old boy. So, the older the cast gets, the more weird the adaptations get. Although the second adaptation was better than the first one, it was still crap.
Yeah, they made some improvements, right? Like, I know the one character's hair was correct for the
Finally
sequel.
Made her blonde.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Because that's really important.
The fandom went crazy over that, and it was interesting. And it was closer to the book than the first one. Still really off, but closer.
Yeah.
And it's really sad because Rick Riordan just doesn't do anything about the movie. Like he stays far away from it.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like he's not involved at all, which is like so unlike every other author for their adaptation, for their YA adaptations.
Recently, at least, yeah, it's crazy. And I think I talked about this on Book Hype last week, and I think that movie studios are now finally starting to see that the closer you work with an author on an adaptation, the more successful it's going to be.
Yeah.
Or at least the chances of it being successful are
higher. Well, not necessarily. Mortal Instruments.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that.
But that was just not a good story to begin with.
Yeah.
No offense to those who liked it.
Which is a lot of people.
I know. But I've expressed my disinterest before.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what Logan Lerman is talking about. It hasn't been that far since Sea of Monsters. It came out August 2013, and before that the original movie came out in February 2010, so it's not like it's been that long of a time. The studio may just want to wait a couple more years like they did in between movies 1 and 2.
Maybe they were in talks like between 1 and 2 though, like behind the scenes talks, so he kind of knew that the eventual plan was to do the second one. And then for this one, Maybe. He just hasn't heard anything.
That's true. I mean,
that's the only way that this sentence even makes sense. Well, that's the only thing I can think of.
The reason I also bring this up is because when he was doing press, I did roundtables involving him, and he said that like he thought it was pretty much over. And then they called him one day after he was filming Stuck in Love, the movie directed by Fault in Our Stars director Josh Boone. And they called him up and were like, hey, we're interested. So he was like genuinely surprised. But who knows? So, I mean, yeah, just, and I'm also looking at the box office, and it looks like the sequel did not do as well as the original by $20 million domestically. So maybe they're just too expensive. It made $200 million worldwide, the sequel, and the original made $226 million worldwide. So it's actually not too far off. I predict a threequel.
I hope so. I like that movie series. My mermaid and my friends really pissed at me last night because I was like, oh, I love Percy Jackson, but like Star Wars is okay. Because I finally watched that.
Well, hopefully Logan Lerman's in Star Wars.
Yeah, he might be in the new ones. You never know.
Yes.
Speaking of Star Wars, actually, according to Disney CEO Alan Horn, filming has already started on episode 7. Yet, we still don't have a title. We don't have a cast, other than like a couple strong rumors. We don't have like a plot. We don't know anything about these movies. And this report came out yesterday, and some people are speculating that they've only really been doing second unit filming. They maybe haven't actually done filming with the lead cast. It's just been minor exterior shots, you know, sweeping shots, just things to get a jump on it, because the film is supposed to come out next December.
I don't understand how they would have been able to do primary shooting without it leaking.
Exactly.
You know, like, it's one thing to get someone in for a cameo and keep that quiet, but how can you keep an entire unit filming, like, the lead characters?
They just pulled a Beyonce. I mean...
Right, a secret
you know,
movie.
Like, there's, yeah, right. Yeah, they're just going to release it, like, in a couple months. Jokes, guys. It's here now.
Yeah. Star Wars, the visual album.
Perfect. I feel like Kyle would actually enjoy that a lot more.
I think so, yes.
So, I mean, everybody in Hollywood, all the bloggers have been concerned about Star Wars because this is just so weird to not know anything. I hope this isn't a new trend where they keep everything unnecessarily secret. But some are speculating that J.J. Abrams just kind of is a little lost and doesn't know what to tell Disney, which is why Disney is so quiet about it. But who knows what's really going on. I'm just fearing that like something like this happens with Fantastic Beasts, the new Harry Potter spinoff movie as well, and then like we're going to be left in the dark. Hold on a second. My phone is going off.
Oh my god, so unprofessional. I hope he leaves that in.
Okay.
I'm
going to forget to edit that, and that'll be a great little gap in the
show.
Yeah,
it'll be great. Definitely don't edit that, because there's some good commentary there.
Oh, was there? Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to keep it in. Just easier on me.
Yep.
There is some better news. I'm so glad you guys know I like to do live to tape. Thank you for stepping in during those 5 seconds of need. There's good news with Star Wars. Peter Mayhew is going to return as Chewbacca. So,
yay!
We now know that Chewbacca and R2-D2 are involved in the movie.
So perfect. Lead characters set.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we need.
Did you guys like the original Wreck-It Ralph Disney
movie?
Yes. Yes, I did.
I loved it.
Yeah, it was great, wasn't it?
It was so fun.
Well, there's good news today. The composer says that Wreck-It Ralph 2 is pretty much a go at Disney. We could have guessed this. I mean, it did really well. The reviews were great. It made a lot of money at the box office. So, and it was an original story, which was nice to see out of Disney. This came out in 2012. A great animated movie. So now the composer is saying that a sequel is indeed a go, and he can't really talk about it because he knows that it's actually happening. So apparently they're working on the story right now.
So that means he's doing the score for the second one, because I really liked his score for the first one.
I guess so,
I'm assuming. Yeah, that's fun. I like when they get the composers back, because they often don't.
Yeah. I had actually spoken to the director, Rich Moore, to promote the DVD last year, and I had gotten a question from one of our readers that I posed to him that actually prompted him to kind of reveal a potential, the storyline for the movie. I mean, this was last year, so it could have changed, but, it could involve multiple versions of the same character. Because Ralph, for example, he exists in a particular video game unit. So what about these other Wreck-It Ralph video game units around the world? Like, and what are these Ralphs like? Do they want to break free and become good people too, or be known as good people too? So that could be the plot of the film. We will see.
That would be actually really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on there. In some Hunger Games news, another Game of Thrones actress has joined Mockingjay. Gwendolyn Christie will take the role of Commander Lyme. She makes me think of margaritas. She's actually going to replace Lily Rabe in the role of Commander Lyme. There was some scheduling conflict there. So the other Game of Thrones actress who is in Mockingjay is Natalie Dormer. I guess she's a bigger character in Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah. Sorry.
Do you guys watch Game of Thrones?
Yeah, sorry.
Yes. Sorry. Okay. Who is she playing in Mockingjay, though? Natalie Dormer. That's what I was confused about.
The
director. She's the director.
Yes.
Oh, that's exciting. Gwendolyn Christie is fantastic, and I'm so excited about this. She's like one of my favorite actresses at the moment. She's so great. And the best thing is, now she'll be doing more interviews for this, and any Game of Thrones fans that have watched her interviews about Game of Thrones, she's like hysterically funny.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, because she gets so into it. Nice. And she'll be talking about how like all these people are dead, and then she's just like giggling like a crazy person. It's fantastic. So, yeah, this is really cool. I'm so into this.
So, movie number one comes out November this year, but I think she's only in part two, so we won't see Gwendolyn until next year. Let's talk about some Harry Potter news now. The big news in late March was that Fantastic Beasts, like we mentioned earlier, is going to be a trilogy. This came out in a profile about Warner Brothers CEO Kevin Tsuchiara by the New York Times. And it was just mentioned really briefly. You had to look carefully. I remember when this article came out, I was like, oh, please let there be something good in here about Fantastic Beasts, because he's the one, this Kevin guy, he was the one who made this deal happen. And J.K. Rowling says as much in the profile. She says, when I say he made Fantastic Beasts happen, it isn't PR speak, but the literal truth. We had one dinner, a follow-up telephone call, and then I got out the rough draft that I thought was going to be an interesting bit of memorabilia for my kids and started rewriting. So this also sort of reveals that she had some sort of draft involving Fantastic Beasts before she was even approached by Warner Brothers about this movie. So it's interesting because we don't know how long she's had this idea in her head now. It's longer than we thought.
I just feel like every time she talks about, he had to convince me to do it and all of this stuff, like she's doing every possible Harry Potter thing right now. Yeah. I feel like she did not need that much convincing.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I mean, it's great. Don't get me wrong. I'm really excited for it. And the idea that she just had this screenplay like sitting around in her bottom drawer is hilarious to me. It's like, you need a hobby. Go outside. But yeah, I mean, say thanks to that guy if you ever meet him, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, she said in an interview a few months ago that Harry Potter will always be a part of her life. Like, and not just like because of the original seven books, but like her work life. And that just made me realize that Fantastic Beasts may only be the beginning of what we get out of her in terms of spinoffs.
This is true. And exciting stuff. Maybe Quidditch Through the Ages will be the next big one.
Yeah, I mean, Warner Brothers picked up the trademarks for that shortly after this Fantastic Beasts announcement was made, so.
Well, that's such a great plot in that book.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. The twists are incredible.
Well, now. I mean, Fantastic Beasts doesn't exactly have a plot either, but she's got a whole story eventually.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be awesome because the fact that there are three movies and she's writing them all means they're all instantly canon and no one can complain that there's like a female elf. So it's going to be great.
Yeah. I presented my Hobbit theory on the latest MuggleCast. I feel like their Warner Brothers has a similar plan as they do The Hobbit, which is that they want to shoot all three of these Fantastic Beast movies back to back, then release them all a year apart from one another. So say December 2017, December 2018, December 2019. That's that way it's like 3-4 years of a lot of Fantastic Beasts hoopla. And voila, a new franchise is born. And don't forget, there's apparently theme park expansion plans related to this as well. So it'll be a whole big thing.
Excellent.
Yeah, I can't wait. In some other Harry Potter news, the producer of the forthcoming Harry Potter stage play was interviewed, and he says that the play is a, quote, intimate personal drama. He said, he also spoke about how they approached J.K. Rowling to convince her to do this play, and it sounds like these two were the only ones who really wanted to make it a drama, not such a flashy spectacle that I guess a lot of other people came to her with in the form of musicals. He said, quote, when Sonia Friedman, the co-producer, and I approached her, it seemed as though it was the first time someone had really talked to her about how one could be an intimate drama on the stage that would explore a side of Harry that hadn't been seen before. And I think she responded to the possibilities of what could be done on stage, and she embraced it fully and is working with us. So, are you guys still feeling weary about this play?
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah? I don't understand it.
I think it's going to be really interesting. And I think I'm so down to see more, like, I assume there's going to be more character development, or hopefully at least a little bit, for like Petunia and just the rest of the Dursleys. So I hope that it brings insight into that whole family.
Yeah, that's the only reason I'm excited for it, because not just the Dursleys, but also other characters like Hermione Granger, the Weasley family. I mean, we can see what they've all been up to. Dumbledore.
If we see the Weasley family, I would be down for that, but I kind of don't care about the rest of the characters.
Well, Harry in particular. No, I mean, Harry in particular.
He wasn't doing anything.
Right. Like, I literally could see myself falling asleep during this play when I think of Harry Potter before
especially
Hogwarts.
Especially because, like, think about it. It's going to be some 8-year-old kid running around on stage. You know, there's no eye candy there. Just like some child actor.
Damn it, Marima. So, it's not always about sex.
Uh-huh. So you got to be really into the story.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I just don't really get it yet. But when we know more about it, I would go and see it, because why the hell not? But I still don't really understand how it's going to work. So I would really like, I don't know, a synopsis or something. That would be nice.
Yeah.
So
well,
I mean, get my head around what they're even thinking. Obviously, they're nowhere near that stage yet, but
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah. So keep in mind, it's still early days, and I think it's supposed to be 2015 that they plan to open it, so we still have a while.
Hypebol is planning a group trip anyway, so.
Oh, yes, that gives us plenty of time to go,
perfect.
Go see it.
Andrew's paying. Andrew shout.
I'm just waiting for it to come to Broadway. Or off-Broadway. You know what Harry Potter play I did see? Potted Potter.
That was
is that
good.
Funny?
Yes.
Yeah,
it was
okay.
Hysterical.
I missed that when I was in New York. I was thinking about it.
It wasn't bad.
It's not worth the ticket price. I saw it for free because
wow.
I was ushering.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was really good.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, I'm supportive of projects like that.
I was mesmerized because one of them was attractive. So, I mean, that just makes anything
better.
It's
not always about sex.
One other piece of Harry Potter news today. Bloomsbury is going to publish a J.K. Rowling bibliography to, quote, record fact and dispel rumor about the publication of the Harry Potter series. This is the description on Amazon. I want to know what you guys think, because I don't totally understand this yet. This is the definitive bibliography of the writings of J.K. Rowling. In addition to complete bibliographic details of all her books, pamphlets, original contributions to published works, and broadcasts, there is detailed information on Rowling at auction, on significant reviews, and on scholarly work on Rowling. This will be the first source on Rowling consulted by textual scholars, book collectors, auction houses, critics, and researchers. The aim of the book is to record fact and dispel rumor on the fascinating publishing history of the Harry Potter series. So this is being published by Bloomsbury Academics. So it is a educational book, I guess, for schools or something. But this is like, I just don't really understand the purpose of this still. Merrimack, well, can you enlighten me?
Yeah, I mean, it just sounds like an academic, it sounds like a textbook. And I'm not 100% sure why they're calling it a bibliography. Because
right, that's the confusing part.
You know, like, okay, a bibliography is just like basically a list of like someone's work, yeah, or, you know, like a list of references. So I guess it sounds more like they're trying to make a J.K. Rowling reference book, not like a biography, as I think some people have been getting confused, but just talking about things that she's written. And I guess it's meant to be like a comprehensive guide of what is, you know, her writing and what isn't. Maybe now that there are so many different new Harry Potter things coming out, it's meant to clarify, I guess, what she's doing and what she isn't. That's the only reason I could see them kind of doing this now. But it just is weird to me that the whole way that they're going about it is strange to me. Mm-hmm. I think I understand why you're confused, because it's like they're making an academic textbook, but then they're announcing it like they want Harry Potter fans to buy it, and it's really expensive. So why would you buy that?
Yeah.
And the fandom needs to calm down their shit, because it's not a book that you're going to go out and be like, I need this book.
Oh, I'm already, I'm going to stand in line at midnight.
Yeah. We're having a midnight release party, right?
Yeah.
Cause it's like $119.
Yeah. That's after the Amazon discount. And
yeah, that's pretty standard for an academic book. Then.
Exactly. Right. So it makes sense for people to buy this, like, for school, if like their course needs it for some reason, but people just need to calm down if they can't afford it. Cause it's okay. You don't need a textbook for fun reading.
Actually, I have an update. I'm looking at the Amazon link. It is now down to $99. Ooh.
Wow. That's a real bargain.
Still no cover. I see that the, oh no, never mind. Oh, well, wait, when did I write it was coming out in here? December. Amazon now says January. So this thing is getting changed left and right. January 29th, 2015. It's supposed to be released now. In my original report, I wrote December, because that's the day that they did have listed. So
it's weird that they're pushing it back, or even if it's that late, because it doesn't sound like the kind of thing that a huge amount of work needs to go into.
Yeah,
although maybe more on the production side versus like the creation of content.
And presumably it's been in the works for a little bit of time, so maybe
it doesn't sound very organized, so maybe not.
That is true as well. Moving along here, there is a report that we all heard, the Dave Letterman news, Dave Letterman stepping down as a host of The Late Show next year. There is a report that Stephen Colbert is CBS's top choice to replace David Letterman at 11:30.
I don't see it happening. I feel like he would need to tone down his show way too much for him to be reasonably satisfied.
Well, he would have to be himself, not his character.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is really sad.
And right, that doesn't sound appealing to me, because I love his character on the Colbert Report. I literally laugh out loud every single episode.
Oh,
so
yeah. I cry with laughter at him and Jon Stewart. If either of them leave their shows to host The Late Show, which is like the worst of all of these shows, I will actually cry.
Well, that's the thing. I think The Late Show would get a total revamp. Like, it would be so different, because they're now competing with Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon, who are both young guys.
I guess. Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. I suppose for me, like, I see Colbert, and I know they're all comedians, but I do see Colbert and Jon Stewart as, like, they can hold their own in a format that is more suited to focusing on them versus, like, guests.
Yeah.
So that would be a shame, I think. I just think it would be a shame because their shows are so unique if you lost them versus some of the other people that are already doing chat shows or already doing whatever. Maybe I wouldn't care so much if they started doing this.
I agree.
Yeah. I just really like Colbert.
Yeah, me too. It would definitely be weird. But I don't know who should replace him. I mean, we did an article, 9 possible David Letterman replacements. Who else do we have here? We've got Craig Ferguson, he's the one who follows Letterman right now. But, I mean, no offense to Craig. I know some people love him, but he's a little too old. They got to get a
good... And he's not that funny.
Yeah.
Well, I think he's hysterical. I love him.
Yeah, see, there's people like Kyle who love him.
I want to see, like, Tina Fey or a lady host. That would be great. I mean, she would never do it, but a woman would be amazing, although it will never happen. Ryan Seacrest. Ugh, no. I hate that guy.
Yeah, no. I'm deleting that from this list right now.
I mean, like some of these would never move, you know, like if they've already got an established show, like Ellen is never going to move from daytime TV.
Chelsea Handler. Yeah. Since this report came out last week, Chelsea Handler has reportedly been in talks with CBS for a show, not necessarily 11:30, but some sort of late night show. But I don't think
she'd have to tone it down a lot, though.
Probably. I just don't like her sense of humor.
I'm not a big fan of hers.
I think Amy Poehler would be in a good position for this. Like, Tina Fey is arguably more popular. Whereas Amy Poehler,
I could see her doing. I think that'd be nice.
But what about, like, Parks and Rec?
Right. She has so many projects going on that she may just not have time. So time will tell, but I mean, with Conan and like Conan, I think would actually be really interesting if he came back to 11:30 on network television.
Yeah, he should do it because I don't care at all about him.
I see.
I don't want someone to host this that like makes me feel like I need to tune in for it. Yeah. You know, like if Amy Poehler hosts, I'm going to be like, damn it, now I have to watch this every night. If Conan hosts it, well, I don't care. It's all good.
This is so funny coming from somebody in Australia.
I don't know what that means.
It means you live in Australia and these people are in America.
That is true, but amazingly, the shows are syndicated over here.
Oh, are they? Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, what do you think? I'm like going online to watch these things?
No, I mean,
they're like a day late. It depends. Not all of them are. But yeah.
I never would have guessed that.
What do you think we do in Australia?
Like, oh, you watch your own late night television shows.
Try to survive from all the bugs.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Avoid sharks. Anyway.
Yeah. Sharknado. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's exactly what it's like.
Anyway, we may be finding out in the next few months what happens because with NBC, we knew like years in advance. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Real quick, just want to mention Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman are both hitting the London stage in the next couple of years, which is not good news for Sherlock series four. Sorry. Womp. Sad. Also, in the next, over the past week, there's been an outcry from those who have seen the How I Met Your Mother finale, including Marima, because the ending sucked, right?
Yep. It was the worst ending of a TV show ever, probably.
Mm. Wow. You mean that seriously?
I don't know if anyone that is listening to this that has watched Gossip Girl will remember that had like the worst finale of all time. Worse than that. Because basically, I feel like I don't want to spoil it, but basically the finale made the entire 9 seasons that led up to it totally pointless. So that's not a good thing in a TV
especially this last season in particular.
Like, right.
But ended it in like a millisecond.
Yeah, it kind of made fans feel, and myself included, that we had wasted 9 years of our lives watching this show because none of it mattered because of what they ended up doing. It was just very sad.
So the creator is very well aware of what happened, as is Neil Patrick Harris. He was on Twitter answering some fan questions, being like, oh, no, I love the finale.
Yeah, sure.
But Carter Bays revealed over the weekend that he's the How I Met Your Mother co-creator. He revealed that they have an alternate ending on the DVD, not with additional footage, but they just cut something out. And it could very well be similar to that fan ending.
I think it's probably exactly the same. They would only have to cut out one scene to make it not awful.
Yeah.
But this is dumb anyway. Like, you can't take back what you put on TV. What you put on TV is, like, what you have to stand behind.
Right.
You can't say, no, it's choose your own adventure ending. That's not how it works. But I think they've realized that they've alienated a huge part of their fan base heading into How I Met Your Dad. So now they're backtracking.
But if you listen, if you believe Carter Bays, he says, 16 days ago, we were in the How I Met Your Mother edit room trying to decide between two very different endings. So they should have included the, so apparently they were thinking of including the better ending on TV, if you believe him. So.
Nope. No, because they went, they talked all of this season and they've talked, you know, for a while now about how they shot this ending at the very start and how this was the plan from the start.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because David Henry was answering questions on Twitter about it. He's like, yeah, they filmed that when I was like 15 and he's like 20 now or something. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. In some other TV news, True Blood series season 7.
Did you just say True Blood?
True Blood. True Blood. Sorry. Is going to premiere June 22nd. It's the final season. Goodbye, True Blood.
I heard that turned to crap.
Oh, it's become so bad. I'm going to watch it out of protest. But I think the final season's only 10 episodes. So, yeah, 10 episodes. So that's, I can deal with that. It used to be 16, I think, or maybe it was 12 or 13, but they have cut back in recent years. We also wanted to talk about Captain America. It hit theaters. Everybody loved it. Critics, fans, just everybody. Everybody loved
Marima
it.
Marima liked it. So, I mean, hey.
Yeah.
Hey, I have been talking. All right. I haven't talked about it on here because it hasn't been out, but I saw this movie so long ago and I've been talking about how good it was for like 3 weeks, like longer than that now. I saw it twice already. I saw it in cinemas because it finally came out here.
We're going to start believing you.
Excellent.
Wait, yeah. What do you mean? Did you have like a copy on DVD?
I saw a screening like ages and ages ago.
Oh. How do you get these early screenings?
Just got my connections.
Oh, man, you're popular down there. I need to move down there.
There's only like 14 people in Australia, so.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Me and the sharks just hanging out in Captain America. It looked really funny in those 3D glasses. That was so good, though.
Yeah.
It really was. Amazing. Yeah. I loved it.
It is my favorite Marvel movie.
And me and Hal are like freaking out about what this means for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Because we were just so many implications. And like, it's really funny because when I was at the PaliFest red carpet for S.H.I.E.L.D., like, reporters next to me would be like, Captain America has huge implications for S.H.I.E.L.D. And I had no idea what they were talking about. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Now you
literally
say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember Joss Whedon was asked about that and he said, you know, we knew what was happening in the Winter Soldier for a long time, so we were able to plan ahead for S.H.I.E.L.D. So isn't tonight's episode like supposed to be big because it's Captain America related?
Mm-hmm. It's gonna be huge.
Maybe I'll tune in.
Yeah, I think you should.
Maybe I will.
Maybe you should.
Anyway, we've done a lot of features on Captain America on Hypeable, including Marima's great article, 16 Easter eggs you may have missed. Very well done, Marima. Great job.
Thanks, Andrew.
And we had some other features. I have one coming out today. I think mine beats yours.
It's
actually
probably the worst thing we've ever published.
No.
By worst, I mean best, and possibly people will be mad at us, but
well,
you know, whatever.
It
it's
looks
on Tumblr, so it's free. That's
exactly.
Fine.
It looks at how Tumblr has eaten up the relationship between Steve and Bucky. And if you haven't seen the movie, I won't say more than that. But check that out. The Tumblr is shipping Steve and Bucky, whether it's true or not. And there were some alarming things on Tumblr.
Oh, I have to take a look at that.
The most alarming ones are, well, it's safe for work. We'll put it that way.
Oh, okay.
Some filtering did. Sorry, Kyle. Some filtering did happen there.
But we have some other great articles like the 9 best Nick Fury quotes from the Marvel movies that has some awesome graphics made by Harry.
We have the best Captain America quotes as well.
Oh.
All his like sassy moments from the first movie going into this one, which is pretty great. And lots of Captain America stuff.
Yeah, and Danielle ranked his uniforms. I thought that was clever.
Yeah, actually, if you look at the weekend reading post from last week, it's like 50% Captain America. So just go there and you'll be set.
It's a good idea. And the movie has made a ton of money at the box office. So Marvel announced this week that Captain America 3 is going to be opening in 2016. He's the new Iron Man. A couple of things on the calendar. First of all, Game of Thrones is now underway. Do you guys watch?
Oh,
hell
yeah.
Yes. I went to a dress-up party as Jon Snow.
Nice.
True story.
That's awesome.
Do you know who that is, Andrew?
Jon Snow? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He's one of the biggest characters. I really wanted to say he knows nothing.
Damn it. That would have been so good.
I mean, running this site, I'm kind of forced to know some things about it.
Oh, such a drag.
It was a great episode.
Yeah.
It was so good. Yeah,
good season premiere.
You know what the saddest thing about shows like that run on HBO, I guess, is you watch one episode and you're really excited for the next one, and then you realize there's only 9 episodes left, and that's really upsetting.
Yeah.
True. Yep.
Yeah. But, you know, enjoy it while it lasts.
This Sunday, Mad Men Season 7 premieres. I watched the Season 6 finale again the other day. It was actually really good. I forgot how good it was. And Mad Men Season 7, this is the final season. It's 14 episodes split in half, just like AMC did with Breaking Bad. So 7 episodes are airing beginning this Sunday, and then the final 7 episodes air this time beginning next year. And finally, one of Kyle's favorite shows, Orphan Black, returns on April 19th.
Yep, next Sunday, so not this Sunday. And it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be amazing. They're bringing us new clones, and Cosima might die. It's going to be really interesting, and it's going to be a blast.
Yeah, I really liked the show. I'm looking forward to this new one.
Yeah, it's definitely, we're going to see more of Mrs. S and Mrs. and Felix's backstory this season as well. So that's going to be great.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to today's episode. As always, you can go to the article on Hypeable announcing this episode to sound off in the comments about anything we said. Maybe you want to file a complaint or two. I see Lady Birds here responded to our discussion on the movie Cars last week. I do not understand the hate on the movie Cars. I think the first one is great. My girls and I still enjoy watching it. Second one was okay. There was just too much explosion for children, in my opinion. We will definitely watch the third one. So, you know, I mean, everybody just sort of loves to hate Cars. That's just sort of the thing to do. Lady Birds, I apologize.
I just said it's the trend.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's not bad, but in comparison to other Pixar things, it's not great.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. It's not
up to
the same.
You know, like Pixar, you can do so much better. You made up. Why did you make Cars? You know, it's like that kind of thing. Compared to other people, good job. Cars was great.
Mm-hmm. Katie wrote in with a discussion about our Paper Towns talk. I was about to get real defensive when you began your discussion of the Paper Towns movie, but after Marima's explanation of other Hypeable writers' slightly negative opinion, I was able to unclench. I can see where they are coming from. John Green has gotten very popular, rightly so in my opinion, so I can see that it might feel like he is quote-unquote taking over. Sorry for the quick generalization of Marima's explanation. But as Andrew said, John is constantly talking about books he is reading and authors he enjoys, as well as talking about his author friends, including Maureen Johnson and Libba Bray. So basically what I'm trying to say is I'm super excited for the Paper Towns movie, and that John Green is an executive producer. He is super talented and is just a wonderful person. When I read things he writes or watch his videos, I'm constantly thinking about how smart, funny, and genuine he is. So he may be the big thing right now, but pop culture could pick way worse things to get way too excited about. True. So thank you, Katie, for writing in with those thoughts. And with that, I think that concludes Hype episode 27. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Tara Kyle.
And I'm Marima White.
We'll see you next time for episode 28. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.